The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast and subscribe. Well, we got a great show for you today. I know that you have an interest in always hearing different ways to finance transactions. This is a very unique way that you may have heard about before, but we're going to be talking with Sari Ibrahim. Sari is a financial planner and member of the Bank on Yourself organization. He helps real estate investors and business owners create their own sources of financing, which are also building safe, predictable, and guaranteed wealth on a tax-favored basis. So I bet you're interested in hearing about that. Let's welcome our guest here, Sari Ibrahim. Hey, Sari, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Hey, Bill, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's great great having you on. I'm really interested in hearing your topic. I mean, it sounds so intriguing here. You know, this how can we sort of be our own bank here? And that's something that's going to be an interesting topic. But before we get started, let's hear about you and your background.
Yeah, definitely. So I got into the financial services world about 5 years ago. I started off working at Allstate Insurance as a business consultant. I would help business owners with risk mitigation strategies using insurance. And I did that for a couple of years and then started my own business, became self-employed, became a Medicare broker, where I worked with some of the Medicare companies like Blue Cross, Humana, Cigna. And I would help retirees, people who are on 64 years old, turning 65, who are now eligible for Medicare, choose Medicare plans based on their needs, their wants, you know, based on their prescription drugs. I do like an analysis with them and help them find the appropriate plan. And I was also like their Medicare advocate. So I would help them throughout the process. And I did that for a couple of years, really rewarding, met a lot of interesting people. And one of my clients asked me if I could help him with a life insurance policy that has some cash value. Now, at the time, I had my life insurance license, but I wasn't that familiar with how life insurance works, especially the part with cash value. So I told him I would do more research and I would get back to him. So I started doing research, and one of the ways I like to learn is I like to read books. So I went to Amazon and searched for books about life insurance. And one book that was recommended is The Bank on Yourself Revolution by Pamela Yellen. And what the book pretty much talks about is using cash value whole life insurance to become your own source of financing. And the book is really interesting. It has a lot of intricate details about whole life insurance. So it kind of caught my attention, not just from an agent standpoint or an advisor, but also from the as a client or a customer. So I, after reading the book, I ended up buying my own Bank on Yourself whole life policy. And then I also went through one of their programs. It's like an 8-week Bank on Yourself professional program where we go through testing and we learn how to structure these policies so that way we can build these policies for clients to give them a safe, guaranteed, and protected wealth on a tax-favored basis. And I'll definitely get into more of how these policies are structured throughout this podcast.
Well, fascinating. Now, had you sold any whole life policies prior to that besides the one you bought for yourself?
No, I had never sold whole life. I had sold some term policies, but never whole life.
Now, whole life has been around a long time, right?
Yeah, almost 200 years.
Amazing. Is that like one of the first life insurance policies available?
Yeah, it kind of has a extensive background, but pretty much it was a way for people to build cash value in the policy. It's also a permanent form of whole life insurance, whereas term kind of has like an end date. It's either 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, and it ends, and then you would have to renew the policy. But whole life is a permanent form, and it's permanent. The only way it ends is when you pass away or if you stop making the payments. Those are the only two ways really a whole life insurance policy can come to an end. So the policy too, and the bank on yourself concept is mainly focused on the utilization of cash value whole life insurance, but this differs from traditional whole life insurance. It's not the same whole life insurance that other companies would offer. Right now, currently, there's about 1,000 insurance companies in the US that sell whole life insurance, but of those 1,000, maybe 3 or 4 can actually structure the policies the bank on yourself way. And it's also known as the infinite banking concept. They're pretty much the same thing, just different trademarks. So only a couple companies right now that can actually structure these policies. It has to be through a mutual insurance company. It can be through a stock-owned insurance company. A mutual insurance company gives its dividends back to the policy owners. And that's the dividends go back into your cash value, which is how the policy cash value grows over the years. Whereas a stock-owned insurance company, the dividends go back to the shareholders. So that's one major distinction, is the insurance company you work with must be a mutual insurance company. Also, the policy has to be properly structured. The traditional whole life policies, or the ones that are kind of the older policies, the ones from like 100 years ago, they are mainly 100% only life insurance, like 100% death benefit. Every dollar you put into the policy goes directly to service the death benefit and to pay for the actual life insurance part of the policy. But there's different ways to structure a policy. There's something called a paid-up additions rider. This is the cash value component of the policy. This is the part that turbocharges the cash value of the policy. A properly structured whole life policy would have a healthy split between the life insurance part and the cash value part. Now, it depends on the company and it depends on the client's needs and wants and other factors. But to give you like a basic example, a healthy balance would be like a 50-50 split. Like every dollar you put into the policy, half of it goes towards the life insurance part and the other half goes towards the cash value part. And of course, the cash value part grows every year through interest and dividends. That's how you can see an incline in the cash value use. And as you are seeing that cash value incline and grow over the years, you can then use that cash value for whatever you want. It could be for real estate investing. It could be for another business you own. It could be for your retirement. It could even be for a vacation. There are no restrictions on what you can use that cash for.
Okay, got it. Is this based on, let's say, for example, on the premium? I know with being a guy that's already retirement age here, if I buy a life insurance policy, the premium's a lot higher, based on my age. Is that the same concept with the whole life as well?
Yeah, Bill, that's right. So the older you are, technically, the more the insurance premium will cost. However, we are able to. There are other solutions. For example, I have one client who's in his 70s, and he's a real estate investor. He sold one of his properties for about $400,000 in cash, and then he was looking for a place to kind of park his money, but still have it earning interest, and he still wanted to be liquid at the same time. So he decided to put all 400,000 into a single premium whole life insurance policy. Now, as soon as he did that, this is just a one-time payment. As soon as he did that, he had an instant cash value balance of $375,000 in cash value, and he also had an immediate death benefit of $580,000. So this is just to give you an idea that yes, insurance, the cost of insurance inclines as you get older, but there are solutions where you can still utilize the benefits of the infinite banking concept or the bank on yourself concept using whole life insurance pretty much at any age. And then this example here with this client, he's able now to borrow up to 90% of $375,000 in the first year, and both the cash value and the death benefit grow every year. The cash value earns interest and dividends guaranteed. And I'm sorry, the dividends aren't guaranteed, but we only work with insurance companies who have been paying dividends for over 150 years.
Wow. Now that's fascinating. Let's say he sells that property and he puts it into his whole life. Does that mean he's not going to have to pay capital gains on that amount?
It depends on how he bought the property or how much he paid, but the tax benefits in this situation would be the growth of the policy. So every year, as his policy is growing between 5 and 6%, he will not have to pay taxes on the growth of the policy. If he goes to access that money, in some situations, it would be either after tax or pre-tax. So he might have to pay tax on it, but it depends on the money that he used to buy the policy with. I guess the biggest tax advantage would be the growth of the policy every year growing by 5 to 6%. That would be tax deferred. You won't have to pay taxes on it. The death benefit is 100% income tax free. As far as the gain, as far as what happens outside of the policy, those tax rules still apply. And just for the listeners to know, I'm not a tax professional, so you want to consult with a tax professional. But to give you a general idea, the tax liability outside of the policy still exists. It's a matter of what happens inside of the policy. That's where the tax benefits come in.
Okay, so gosh, I got a lot of questions here. If okay, so the part that earns interest is the 375 from the example you said, right? Or does the full 400 earn interest?
So the 400,000 initially is the single premium cost of the whole insurance policy. Now, in the first year, there are fees that the insurance company needs to maintain the death benefit and to maintain other operating expenses. So in the first year, the 400,000 pretty much buys the insurance policy, and with the insurance policy, there are two benefits now. One is the cash value benefit, and the second is the death benefit. So in the first year, it's the cash value is at 375,000 and the death benefit is at 580,000. Now the difference is that they both increase without additional premiums needed. And around probably year, we've seen this with other policies, around maybe year 3, year 4, your cash value starts to exceed what you've put into the policy. And it can still keep growing. It still keeps growing even when you borrow the money. For example, in the same example, if this client goes to, he wants to finance a property that's going to cost him $100,000. Instead of going to a bank or instead of going to a private money lender, he can go to himself as his own bank, borrow $100,000 from the insurance company as a personal loan from the insurance company. The insurance company will wire $100,000 to any bank he wants. He's now treated as a cash buyer when he goes to invest in real estate. And his policy continues to grow. The 375 is not deducted because he is borrowing from the insurance company's general funds. He's borrowing against the cash value. And again, he's not deducting from the cash value. So this way, his policy continues to grow, continues to earn interest and dividends. Now, let's say he pays back the $100,000 over the course of 5 years. He can control the terms of the payments and the frequency of the payments. But let's say in this example, he pays it back over 5 years. Over 5 years, he's still going to have to pay interest to the insurance company, It's 5% simple interest, and let's say on average he spent, I don't have a calculator, but just kind of a rough example, he spent $120,000 back to the insurance company. In 5 years, his policy may grow by $130,000. So now there's an arbitrage or a split in between how much he's borrowing the money at and how much he's earning the money at. And the reason why the policy outpaces what you pay into it is because you earn compound interest on your money, but you're buying the money at simple interest. So the growth of your money outpaces what you pay in loans to the insurance company, which makes more sense for you to borrow from a bank that you own, a policy that you own, rather than going to another financial institution or a private money lender where they recoup the interest on the money they lend you. Instead, you can recoup the interest on your own loans.
So it's almost as if you're borrowing the money at negative interest because you're, I mean, it's 5% simple and 5% compounded. So you're actually not really paying anything on that the use of that money, right?
Yeah, you're actually gaining. Eventually, you'll gain on the policy more than what you have. So in other words, you make money in the policy and you make money in your investments. So your money is doing two things for you at the same time. And this is exactly what banks do. Banks have huge whole life policies worth billions of dollars, and then they borrow from those policies and then loan out the money via credit cards, mortgages, lines of credit, and then they make money on the interest from the outside products, from the consumers, and they make interest from the insurance company at the same time.
Interesting. Wow. Well, what kind of real estate investing can people do with this? I mean, could you flip and put your profits back in here, or what have you experienced from real estate investors using this type of an approach?
Yeah, definitely. It could be used for pretty much, it could be used for any type of business and any type of real estate investing. We've seen clients roll their profits, of course, with the consider the tax liability and the exchange, but rolling their profits back into the policy to buy additional paid up additions insurance, which is, do you remember in the beginning of the podcast we talked about the cash value part? You can roll profits back into that, into the paid up additions rider, so that way you can get even more compound interest on your money. Now, it depends on how this is structured because there are tax limits to how much you can add back into your policy. But that is one strategy we've seen, is that you can kind of use the policy to borrow from it and then use it for your real estate investments, and then from the profits from that, roll it back into the policy and then kind of recycle your money in and out. With you becoming your own source of financing and your own savings account, your own bank that you can store money and loan money out at the same time.
So when you add money to it, do you can you designate that it would all go into the cash side of it, or do you does it automatically get split?
It would go into the cash value. Now there's something called like a paid up additions cost. This is the cost of every dollar that goes into the policy for it to go to the paid up additions rider. So for example, the average is about 6%. Some companies go up to 12% or maybe even higher than that. But the companies we use, they're around 6% average. So that means if for every dollar you put in, the insurance company takes 6% of that as the maintenance fee for maintaining the paid up additions rider of the policy. So about 94% of your money in this example can go directly into the cash value part of the policy.
Wow. Well, tell me how this is used as a like a retirement vehicle. How do you grow this? I mean, obviously you have interest you're earning, on at 5%. But how do people accelerate that process?
Some other policies where they're just monthly payments or annual payments over the course of like 20 years. So, for example, one may fund the whole life policy for 20 years at the age of, let's say, 40 or 45 years old, pay into the policy monthly premiums, and then set up the policy for it to stop paying for the policy at age 65, if they want to retire at age 65. And then once they retire at age 65, they can then set up the policy so that way the policy pays them now. So they paid into the policy for 20 or 25 years, and then the policy now will pay them for 20 or 25 years. Now, the cool thing we're able to do is we're able to set up the policy so pretty much for every dollar you put into it. And again, it depends on the age and which company and other factors. But to give you kind of an example, we've set up policies where you could put in $1 or for every dollar you put into the policy for 20 years. 20 years later, you can take out $3 or $4 on every dollar put in tax free because you already paid taxes on that money. And it's been growing and earning compound interest. So by the time you are 65, you could take out for every dollar put in, $3 out every month. So if you put in, for example, $1,000 a month, 20 years later, you could take out $3,000 or maybe even higher every month for the next 25 years, and you'll still have a death benefit. But you still have a death benefit that's guaranteed and the recurring cash, like almost like passive income that gets paid back to you.
That's awesome. That is really amazing. Give me, maybe a example of someone that that has used this particular approach and grown it into wealth over a time a period where they have started off with just a small. I mean, I know the amazing just power of compounding. There's not even very many compounded accounts anymore. I mean, I remember I was in banking for years and people would, leverage that, and it's amazing how it can grow so quickly. How are people using this, to create wealth, for their businesses and themselves?
Yeah, so again, there's many different ways to do this. I think the interesting part about this is that it's not an either or product. It's not either I, put my money into a retirement account or I can use it for real estate investing. You can kind of do both at the same time with the same money. So I've seen people start funding the policy slowly, like a couple of months into the policy, and then they can borrow from the policy. And when they borrow, they can use that for whatever they want. There are no restrictions on it, but their policy still grows, and it's their retirement is still maintained. And this is really important for business owners because and real estate investors, because a lot of real estate investors are self-employed, so they might not have like their own 401k or an IRA or a pension. So this becomes like your own pension or your own I don't want to say 401k or IRA because it's different than that. It's not a 401k or IRA, but it can become your own pension in the future without having to give up cash right now. Because I've also seen that in my experience is that people might find that difficult to choose between do I save for something that's 30 years from now or do I move my money around right now and earn more interest on it right now than I would just have it sitting in a boring account. But the point of it is that you can do both. You can start the policy, and I've actually done this myself. I have a policy and that I put in about $300 a month in, and the policy's set up so that way I have room for another maybe $1,500 a year that I could add into the policy that goes directly into the cash value part. And I've been doing that. So now I have a way where I could park my money somewhere, have it earn compound interest. And if I need to use that money, I could use that for whatever I want as a loan.
Wow. Well, you mentioned earlier there are limits, though. I mean, if I wanted to put, $1 million in there, just on the interest alone, I could retire, But there are limits on how much you can actually put into the policy.
Yeah, in the sense of limits adding into the policy, that would apply towards the modified endowment contract rules. So, for example, in my policy, I put in $300 a month. And now, if I had a have a windfall of like $100,000, I can't take $100,000 and put into my policy because it would mech the policy or make it into a modified endowment contract. And that would it would pretty much the entire policy would become a taxable vehicle. So what I would have to do is get a separate policy or a couple other policies and reach the limits on those. But if you wanted to buy a one-time whole life policy, a single premium for $1 million, you could do that as long as you can prove that the death benefit is up to 25 times your annual salary. So if you make $100,000 a year, the maximum death benefit you'd be able to get usually is about 2.5 million. 2.5 million death benefit. So if you wanted to get a whole life policy if you wanted to put in $1 million into it, the death benefit on that would probably be, now I don't know other details about you, but let's just say the death benefit might be 2.5 million if you're going to buy it for 1 million, and you would just have to prove that you make 25 times that amount.
Gotcha. And I don't want to bypass what you'd mentioned earlier too. I think that's a good point. There are people that do buy multiple policies, and is that also a strategy for investors?
Yeah, definitely. Because it gets to the point where investors and business owners might think, like, at this point, if they can earn guaranteed interest on their money and earn dividends from insurance companies that have been paying dividends for over 150 years, why would they have large amounts of cash sitting in a bank or other low interest accounts like a CD or money market account? They would rather have it parked somewhere where they can earn that interest, and also the growth of it is tax deferred. So even if they're not using the money and it's sitting somewhere just growing, they don't have to claim that on their taxes every year that they made, X amount of dollars in their whole life policy. So it gets to the point where people do come back and buy additional policies, and you can get really creative. There are some policies, as mentioned, it's just a one-time payment. Some policies are 10 years only. Some policies you pay for your whole life. So it gets really creative, and it comes down to knowing the client. With all our clients, we do a full, thorough 90-minute analysis where we get to know the client, we understand their needs, wants, their financial objectives, their retirement goals, what they're currently doing in the real estate market, what they want to do. And then we structure an initial bank on yourself policy or multiple bank on yourself policies based on what's discovered in the financial analysis. So it's really difficult for us to kind of just guess what would be the best policy for somebody. And that's why we do that full, thorough 90-minute confidential analysis to structure a policy for them. And then we do 6-month reviews where we're monitoring the cash value of the policy, we're monitoring all their policies, and we circle back every 6 months and check on them. And we might, a client might say, "Hey, I just sold a part of my business," or, "I just sold some real estate. I have some cash. What do I do with it?" And we'll find some alternatives or some solutions for them to kind of stay on track with their objectives that were mentioned in the analysis call.
Okay, so they could take that extra amount and create a whole new policy and not really infringe upon the first or the larger policy.
Exactly, yes.
As a real estate investor, I'm sure that there, I'd like to, and if there's anything else you think that might be relevant in terms of how this type of an account, I might want to differentiate too and let people know this is not the whole life. If you just tune in, you're not the same whole life policies that you hear about that Ramsey
Orman, Susie Orman.
Orman says, don't buy this whole life policy. It's very different. It sounds like very unique that there are very few companies that even offer this type of whole life policy. So I think that's a key point in it. In terms of what are mistakes that people make that you think this might help prevent or that might be a way to avoid that type of mistake as far as and real estate investors.
Yeah, I think one mistake that I've seen so far is real estate investors, especially newer real estate investors, they'll kind of have like RC bandwagon appeals where like everybody else does it this way, so I might as well just do it that way, and they might justify what they're doing. Like for example, when it comes to liquidity or using the cash flow or refinancing, and there are systems in place, right, Bill, where it's supposed to be done a certain way because it works, and then you don't have to reinvent the wheel. But I think certain parts of it could be better. Like, for example, where your money lives. Some real estate investors might think that or believe that you should never have any cash. It should all be reinvested as many times as possible into properties. And then when you do need the money, you could just cash out, refinance. And some real estate investors do have good relationships with lenders, and they have cash flow and they have collateral, so they can always have that low interest access to money without having to sell a property. So that's good too, because they can earn the appreciation on the properties while also utilizing low interest. But the problem is there's actually two problems. One is you're relying on external factors because banks only lend you a loan to value, right, to the market value. And market values are volatile. They can be affected by market conditions. Real estate tends to be one of the safer routes, but it's not completely safe. Like in 2008 and in previous years, we've seen huge declines in market values, which would affect your ability to liquidate against properties. So that's one problem. And the second problem is that if banks lend out too much and markets aren't looking too good and there's a lot of uncertainty, they might stop loaning money out. They don't have to loan money out. And you might be in a good situation to be bankable or to borrow money, but the bank might not be in a good situation to loan you the money. So you do need somewhere where your money lives and is growing and is still liquid too. So this way, when things don't work out in the economy and in the markets and with banks, you have your own source of financing to go to and your own way of storing your money outside of the control of banks, Wall Street, and the government, speak.
Yeah, well, liquidity is a key one. I mean, there are some loans that you get and you're required to have, maybe 3 months, 6 months worth of liquidity to cover a mortgage and so forth. Would this qualify to meet that for banks and to put it into a whole life policy?
Yes. Yeah. The cash value of a whole life policy can be used as your proof of savings or your proof of net worth, even. It could be proved that, yes. And the cash value that you do, the money that you do borrow from it, it's treated as you're treated as a cash. That's your cash, or you're treated as a cash buyer in that sense.
Gotcha. Great. And the utilizing this strategy, you know, what would you say some of the key benefits are for investors?
Key benefits. One is we mentioned liquidity. You're always able to borrow 85 to 90% of your cash value. Two, no market volatility. The money grows regardless of market conditions. Three, there's a death benefit. We didn't really talk about the death benefit, but that's also a really important piece too, because eventually you have to, if you're younger, you're listening to this, you still have to build a strategy, an estate planning strategy, so the death benefit can come into place. And the death benefit also grows every year. That's really important. And we talked about the tax benefits. The growth of the policy grows tax deferred. And in a lot of situations, when you do access that money, it is tax-free because of you've used after-tax dollars. We've talked about that. And then also build the integration level, I think, is really important too. Again, it's not either or. It's not either, you know, I put my money in whole life insurance or I put it into real estate. You can kind of use it to recycle your money and to fund different areas of your business and your life.
Interesting. Wow. That's great. You know, our audience are mainly those folks that are 50 years of age and older, and, they're looking at real estate investing as a means to help them through these retirement years, generally in terms of additional cash flow, but they're also trying to build a legacy with the properties that they have that will have become assets that they can hand down to their children and so forth. If somebody doesn't have a whole life policy, and let's say they are like my age, 65 or 70 even, to start paying premiums, it would take quite a while to build up to that point where they could actually use it to invest. For those folks, you know, how could they benefit from a whole life policy to help them, move into real estate investing?
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely recommend, of course, after the financial analysis call, I would most likely recommend a single premium policy where it's just a one-time payment and then you have an instant death benefit and you have an instant cash value, both. Single premium policies are typically the underwriting on them is less strict than those that are being funded for 20 years. So if somebody is over the age of 60, they might have some health conditions. We can still get them approved for the policy. So from a health perspective, these are good. And also from if you don't want to fund it for 10 or 20 years, if you want to use it for retirement, for example, and you have, you know, five more years until retirement, the single premium route would most likely be a really good fit because it's just a one-time payment. And there's also flexibility in the single premium policy for you to add more capital into the policy as you earn more capital without the commitments of adding more capital. In other words, when you do have the money, you can add it into the policy. And if you don't have that extra money, nothing is going to happen to the policy. So a lot of flexibility.
Gotcha. So if, for example, you know, and a lot of folks, as they get in their latter years, they downsize, they sell their house, you know, that they've been living in for years, and use that money. I guess it'd be after they pay capital gains taxes to invest. Would that be the same kind of situation here, where they could, if they sold their home, that would create that lump sum for them to put into this whole life policy to invest from?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. You could definitely do that.
That's great. Just kind of looking ahead with your business here. Just one question here that really has kind of been on my mind. You know, you're a financial planner. So usually financial planners sit down with somebody and you know, come up with a broad-based investing portfolio, right? So you've got mutual funds, you've got, you know, index funds, you've got annuities, whatever it may be, for their retirement years. But it sounds like you're very focused in this particular area. Have you changed the way that you're actually advising people now, you know, for their retirement years?
Yeah, and it's a good point, Bill. A lot of, you know, when you hear financial planning or sitting with a financial advisor, you think of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and that would be like traditional financial planning. And what I do is not really traditional. A lot of financial advisors or financial planners don't like whole life insurance. They just don't really. I think it's because they're comparing it to the old whole life policies, especially the ones that Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman talks about, how they're almost like really bad for people, you know, because the cash doesn't grow that much, the death benefit is leveled, you don't really have easy liquidity to the money, you don't really have any flexibility with adding more. But I think that more people should understand that that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about these old policies. We're talking about a modern form of dividend paying whole life insurance that could essentially be the best place to put your money. It even beats, you know, a regular checking account or savings account, and it beats other, you know, money market brokerage accounts, stock options, whatever the case might be. So I definitely what I do is not your, you know, it's not very average or traditional financial planning. And sorry, there was a second part to that question that, sorry.
The other thing was too, I would think it, because of its consistency, that it would probably, especially in these economic times, would be a much more, I'd feel much more confident, you know, having my funds sit in something that I know is going to compound regardless of, you know, whether the stock market crashes or not. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the other types of financial instruments out there, you know, are pretty volatile right about now.
Yeah, exactly. And we're 1 month, you know, a couple months away from the election. So that's also going to create volatility or uncertainty in the market. I'm not saying the market is going to go up or down because of the elections, but I'm saying that it's going to create a lot of uncertainty because of that. So people who have their money parked in or living inside of insurance companies like dividend paying whole life insurance, they don't really have much to worry about because whatever happens in the market, their money is still going to compound, it's still going to grow, and they still have access to that money too. So even if you have, you know, bad credit, you're in bankruptcy, you've been having an awful year, you could still access that money. There's no underwriting, financial underwriting, to get that money out. So again, a lot of it covers the gaps with uncertainty.
And somebody investing, let's say they put that lump sum in there, how soon can they access it? Is there a sort of a grace period, a waiting period that they have to wait for?
So pretty much on average, from the time we submit the application to the time it gets approved, when it goes through medical underwriting and other parts the insurance company looks for, that takes about 4 weeks on average. And then after 4 weeks, the policy is approved. Then after the policy is approved, the payment has been made, then you can get 85 to 90% of those funds, the cash value, in about 7 to 10 business days.
Wow. Wow. And when you set that loan up, what's sort of the amortization on that loan? I mean, is it, you know, in terms of, you know, if you take a $100,000 loan out, is a big difference between a, you know, a 5-year payback and a 30-year payback?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's simple interest, 5% simple interest annually. So you would have to at least pay back 5% annual interest. And if you took out $100,000, the minimum you would have to pay back for the policy to stay alive and to keep growing is $5,000. You can control the payback period, so you can pay it back if you wanted to in 1 year or 30 years. One rule is that or method is you want to pay back the loan within reasonable time. And one way to measure that, it could be fairly arbitrary, but one way to measure that would be that if you were buying a car, for example, with your whole life policy, an average would be 60 months, right? Because that's the average for other institutions would have a 60-month payback period for the auto loan. If it's a home mortgage, which people do, people use their bank on yourself policies to buy houses with, then it would be 30 years if you wanted to, 30 years. So I guess it has to be within reasonable time. If you never pay back the loan at all, then the policy can lapse in coverage, just to know that, just to kind of put that out there.
Oh, okay. That's a key point. Thanks for sharing that. Well, wow, time has really zipped by us. This has really been great, great information. We do now what we call our sort of wrap it up segment, where I ask you a series of quick questions and you share resources that have been valuable to you. Mm-hmm. So if you're ready, we can go ahead and wrap it up.
Okay, Bertie.
All right. Favorite investing book, since you're not a real estate investor, but what'd be sort of your favorite investing book?
Yeah, so I really liked, even though I'm not a real estate investor, it is a real estate book. It's Raising Private Capital.
Ah.
But yeah, it's a good book.
By Matt Faircloth, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. How about favorite general business book?
I really like the book Mindset by Carol Dweck.
Awesome. And how about a favorite website for success that you use as a resource?
I really like the Bank on Yourself website. It's helped me a lot with understanding the Bank on Yourself concept and kind of the more technical details of how Bank on Yourself policies work. And I use it for myself and for clients.
Oh, okay. That's not your website, but it's for the all the folks that are involved in this type of approach, right?
Yes, correct.
Awesome. How about a favorite app?
I really like Calendly. It's the app that you could just book appointments. It's changed my life. You know, you could just send somebody a link and they could just put an appointment in and they're on your calendar now.
I love it. That's great. How about a favorite quote?
Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. By Einstein.
I love that. It's the truth. I mean, compound interest. I miss compound interest. It's great to see it still being done somewhere, you know. Oh, that's great. And then a final question. If you lost everything, all your assets, and you had to start it all over, you know, knowing what you know, and let's say all you have is $1,000 in cash, what would you do to sort of relaunch your business?
I would definitely relaunch it in real estate, and I would get my broker license, and I would do probably just faster deals like rental properties to get cash flow quicker, and then find real estate investors and kind of build it up from there.
Awesome. Gosh, this is great stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening too that would want to find out more about you and maybe even talk to you and find out, you know, what's involved in setting up this type of whole life policy here. What's the best way for folks to reach you?
Yeah, you can get a free consultation at finassetprotection.com, finassetprotection.com. And there's a link. You can schedule a free appointment and we can do it over Zoom or over the phone.
Ah, that's great. Great. All right. Well, Sari, this has been really, really good. I'll put a link to yours as well as the Bank on Yourself site, so people can find out more about the details. We, you know, obviously in the short time we have for this show, we can't really get into all the details here, but I think you covered a lot of key points. So I think it'll be valuable for those out there that are looking for that. I know a lot of investors that do this approach that just swear by it, just say, oh my gosh, you know, my net worth just skyrocketed. And I think there's definitely something to learn from it. But before we go, we have a tradition on the show here. And our guests get to close us out with their best. We're called the Old Dogs REI Network. So you kind of, you know, do something for dogs here. So we're going to have you give us your best old hound dog howl. Are you ready for that one?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
Ooh. That's the best I got.
Okay, I guess that'll have to do. No, it was good. It was good. Well, thanks for being on, Siri. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it.
I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there too for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please note everything that Siri talked about today, including some great links here, can be accessed in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode that has Siri Ibrahim. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.